Now, one of the other things that the researchers have discovered working with heart information and the scientists at the HeartMath Institute is that around every human heart, a field exists. This isn't an aura, this isn't a prana. This is a digitally measurable electrical and magnetic field. In your mind's eye, if you can envision a donut around the human body, this form is called the tube torus. So it's a donut-shaped field that extends with the heart as the center around the human body for a radius of between 5 and 8 feet around the human body. Now, once again, the scientists say this is only as far as our machines can measure. There's a good possibility, they believe, that these fields extend much further, perhaps miles, on the quantum level. Now think about the implications of what this says. It says that when we choose to have a feeling in our heart, a prayer, from this perspective, that feeling may not be limited only to our heart or even to our bodies. It may extend beyond our bodies through the conduit of this field. When we are in mass, when we are in a church with 300 people in prayer, or in a seminar, or at a concert, or at a restaurant, or a bus stop, or an airport, there are many individual discrete bodies in that moment. If they are within 5 to 8 feet of one another, they are within the same heart field. And perhaps this gives us some insight into why mass prayer, when it works, is as powerful and effective as it is in a group setting. In the words of Jesus of Nazareth, he reminds us that wherever two or more of us are gathered, that it is in that moment that we may bring our love, our feelings to bear upon the conditions of our world. The research into heart-based field effects now is lending credence to precisely what these concepts may be saying to us. What we know is that feeling-based prayer allows direct access to our bodies surrounding the place where our feeling is happening, our hearts, to one another, and now even to the creative forces of the cosmos, as human emotion from large population centers is now being linked to changes in weather patterns. Now, as a scientist, as someone who has come up through the technical and the academic curriculum, what I have to say to you is my training does not allow for that relationship. There's nothing in my formal academic background that suggests, even remotely, that many people together having a feeling in any way whatsoever could affect weather patterns in our world. On the one hand, on the other hand, why should we be surprised when we know that barometric pressure responds to magnetic fields and human emotion is based in electrical and magnetic information? Perhaps when we get many people together, several hundred thousand people in a city or 1 million people in a city, and they have specific beliefs or expectations, those are feelings, perhaps our weather does respond to that, and this may give us insight into many of the ancient traditions where indigenous people would pray for the conditions of rain. Praying rain is what they would call it. Some of the oldest texts in our world, Vedic traditions for example, speak of a unified field of pure consciousness that permeates the earth and envelops each of us, each moment of our lives. As long ago as 1898, for example, William James published a paper, he's a very well-known doctor, published a paper suggesting that a continuum of consciousness exists that unites individual minds. This is being published during the spiritual renaissance in the late 1800s. What our history shows is that more than once we have approached the time of this spiritual renaissance, and more often than not it has been accompanied by an outbreak of warfare, and the warfare crushed the renaissance. One of the reasons I am so passionate about this time in history is that we now are collectively embarking upon a period, perhaps the longest period of relative peace in our world that we've ever seen. For our country, just a little over 200 years old, we have traditionally gone in 20 or 25 year cycles where we're either gearing up for war or engaged in warfare. Now we are invited to find peace as a viable economy. And I believe this is what's happening. So as we are gearing up for our spiritual renaissance that most people will agree, at least to some degree, is happening in our world today, perhaps it will not be crushed now by the anger and the rage of a global conflict. And we will be able to take this where William James in 1898 only dreamed of in his time. Well, in more recent times, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, for example, the founder of the TM traditions, as we know them in the Western world, made a statement, and this statement has tremendous implications in terms of the events unfolding in our world. He said, and this is a quote, that all occurrences of violence, negativity, conflict, crisis, or problems in any society are just the expression of the growth of stress in the collective consciousness. And this is one of the keys of TM. As we evened out, as we dispelled the stress, that we would find in our outer world the peace that would come from that. And there are very good studies that were done supporting this. We call this a field effect. And this field effect does in fact suggest that when stress is relieved within a group, that the effects of that relief are registered beyond the immediate group. So when we are engaging in whatever practice, whether we call it meditation, whether we call it feeling-based prayer, whatever it is that we'd like to call this, with other individuals within a room, there's a very good possibility the effects are being registered beyond that room into the population of the people that surround that room. Studies during the Israeli-Lebanese War, for example, began to bear out some of this information. As far back as 1972, where the first studies were done, in 1972, 24 U.S. cities, each with populations over 10,000, experienced measurable reductions, statistically measurable reductions in crime when as few as 1%, and that's only 100 people for every 10,000, participated in these processes. Whether you want to call them meditation, in this case it was TM, or whether we call them feeling-based prayers, whatever we'd like to call them, there was a measurable correlation between what was happening in their bodies and what was happening in the world around their bodies. What they found was that crime rates, violent crimes, were reduced. Assaults were reduced. Thefts were reduced. During this time, the stock market actually soared while this process was in place. And when the people stopped the process, each of these statistics reversed. Well, during the Lebanese War between Israel and Lebanon in the early 80s, similar studies were done, and what they discovered was that when people were participating in these modes of self-management, and again, we're not going to specifically call them meditation or prayer, although this particular study was meditation, but we've seen the effects, whether it's prayer, meditation, emotional self-management, whatever we like to call these things, that statistically measurable changes occurred again. During the Israeli-Lebanese studies, terrorist activities dropped. Crimes against people declined. And when people stopped what they were doing, those situations reversed, showing once again that the field was not limited to the people themselves. It extended through a medium that we're just beginning to understand through this substrate of consciousness. Similar studies were done in the U.S., the Philippines, and India between 1984 and 85. They found similar correlations